And the second question about our instinctive desires are related with our impulsive desires. You know, a Brahmana can cultivate satisfaction, but Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra cannot. No, it's not necessarily like that. What is required for the satisfaction for a Kshatriya will be different from what is required for a Brahmana. But a Kshatriya is also meant to cultivate some amount of satisfaction. So it's when I was in America in Denver, I gave a series of classes on understanding what is our quota. What is our quota? Tena tektena bhunjita maagruda kasyachuddhani. So Isha Pisa says, take what is your quota and don't go beyond that. Now how do we know what is our quota? So the metaphor that I used was of food. That food is essential for survival. But how much food who need, that will vary from person to person. Now, some people may have very strong digestion. They may need a lot of food. In fact, Bhima is glorified as Vrukodara. Now, Vrukodara means one who has a very voracious appetite. So you may say, is that a praise or is that an insult? You have a voracious appetite. But he's glorified for that. There is a name which is given for him for that. So just as different people will have different need of food. Now, how much is the need, whose need for food? That is something which one has to individually decide. You can consult others, but we have to decide. So it's like, the basic point is when we are practicing bhakti, food should not become a competitor to Krishna. Now what does that mean? That if I eat too little, then if Ekadashi I am fasting, I am chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I am chanting Krishna, Krishna externally, but my mind is chanting Prasad, 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 Prasad. Hare Krishna, Prasad, Prasad, Krishna, Krishna, Prasad, Prasad. So, what is the use of that chanting? Better take some food and then come and chant. So, if we eat too little, then the food becomes a competitor to Krishna. On the other hand, if we eat too much, then we become too attached to the food, we become infatuated by the food. Again, the food becomes a competitor to Krishna. Because we are craving, when will I get this, when will I get that, when will I get that. But if we take food, what is needed for our body, and it's not that, it's not wrong to take delicious food also, but just take it in proper proportion, then the food serves our body, serves our mind, and then we move on towards Krishna. So the food, if it becomes a competitor to Krishna, either because of too little or too much, then it is a problem. So Krishna says, Natya ashnatasto yogosti na chaikanta manashnata. That one who eats too much or eats too little can't become a yogi. So we can use food as a metaphor for material things in general. So different people may say need different levels of say material comfort or financial security or social harmony or say relationships. So that's just their need. So for some person, some people who live say in a rural setting all the time, for them, they don't need much comforts. But for somebody who has lived in comforts in cities throughout their life, if you tell them to go and live in villages, sometimes that itself may cause so much agitation that absence of material comfort becomes too much of a problem for them to focus their mind on Krishna. So, say for example, when it's hot, all of us sweat. But some people sweat too much. Some people don't sweat so much. So now, if somebody is sweating so too much and they need a fan, so for them to chant Hare Krishna, if there is no fan, they are feeling so uncomfortable, they can't chant. Somebody else, they don't need a fan. They can just, sweating doesn't matter. So then, the point is, if you need a fan, use a fan, but continue chanting Krishna. So somebody maybe have a body which is more resistant to cold. Some people's body is less resistant to cold. So with respect to food and temperature, it's easy to understand that different people will have different needs. But with respect to, say, financial security, with respect to relational security, with respect to material comforts, these can also be different for different people. And whatever is needed, that has to be taken care of. If it is not taken care of, then people will be very agitated. So some people, for them to practice bhakti, they need a certain amount of financial security. And they have that much security, then they can focus on bhakti. Some people, Krishna will take care of things. Now, it's not necessary that the first person has less faith in Krishna and second person has more faith in Krishna. It may be, but it can also be that the first person is a person whose need for security is greater. For the second person, the need for adventure is greater. And what they are calling as dependence on Krishna, it's actually their sense of adventure. It's not necessarily, it can be spiritual advancement. We don't want to judge others. But I'm saying that even in material life, you know, the psychologists talk about risk compatibility. They say people who can take, who have a tendency to take a lot of risk, they go into business. People who don't want to take so much risk, they may go into jobs. So that is just an individual nature. So somebody who has a greater quotient for taking risks, they may take more risk for Krishna. They may appear to be more dependent on Krishna. But that's not necessarily out of spiritual advancement. So just as we say that somebody has more intelligence, somebody has less intelligence. Intelligence is one opulence of Krishna. And we as souls get some of Krishna's opulences based on our past karma. So if somebody has more intelligence, then they may be able to do more intellectual services for Krishna. But their intelligence is not necessarily a sign of their spiritual advancement. It can be, it need not be. Now with respect to say wealth or with respect to looks, it's easy to understand this. Somebody looks very attractive, that doesn't necessarily mean they're spiritually advanced. We easily understand that. But with respect to knowledge, I think so much knowledge must be very spiritually advanced. Maybe, may not be. And it becomes most problematic with respect to renunciation. See, renunciation at one level can be because of our practice of bhakti. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajaja Janayatya Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayahetukam. The practice of bhakti can lead to renunciation. But at another level, you also understand that renunciation is also an opulence of Krishna. And renunciation can also be a result of past karma. So some people, there are people who just, you know, stay single throughout their lives. They know spirituality. And not that they are having affairs or anything like that. They just stay single. So they are renounced. But that is not necessarily they are spiritual. So by our past karma, we all may be endowed with different levels of renunciation also. So somebody who is more renounced than another person, that just as wealth, if somebody has a lot of wealth, then they don't have to worry so much about earning money. And they can use that wealth in Krishna's service. Or the pursuit of wealth doesn't distract them from Krishna's service. Similarly, somebody has renunciation, then that is a tool which they can, resource which they can use in Krishna's service. But renunciation itself is not necessarily a sign of spiritual advancement. It can be, but it need not be. So that's why different devotees, based on how much renunciation they have from their past karma, may have different amount of needs. And accommodating those needs is not considered pandering to the senses. So the point is, whether by doing a particular activity, does my mind become more peaceful so that I become more focused on Krishna? So, you know, peacefulness of mind can come in two ways. One is just purely by absorption in Krishna. But the other is when our material situation is not too agitating. They say, if we are sick and we are in pain. Now, at that time, if there is no cure for the pain, we may helplessly call out to Krishna. And we may really take shelter of Krishna at that time. But you know, that is not the way we can lifelong take shelter of Krishna. You want a certain level of health. So when the physical health is reasonably good, then the mind is not so irritated or agitated by bodily pain, then focus on Krishna. Similarly, there is a, just like the soul is in a particular body, soul is in a particular society also, soul is a particular environment also. The soul has these three coverings, the bodily, the social and the environmental. And we all need a certain level of harmony in the soul's coverings. The physical, the social and the environmental. So some weather is just so difficult for people to bear that they're constantly agitated. They may need to emigrate to some other place and then they can practice bhakti peacefully. We don't just want to keep traveling from one place to another. They were talking about the principle that our peacefulness of the mind can come ultimately by absorption in Krishna, but circumstantially also, if there is too much agitation, then we can't be focused on Krishna. In modern psychological terms, we talk about comfort zone, stretch zone and panic zone. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be in a comfort zone where we are seeking only for peace at the material level. We want some amount of peace at the material level so that we can focus on spiritual practice. So we want to be in a stress zone. In panic zone, we are overwhelmed by the problematic situations around us and we can't do anything. So what comprises a stress zone and what comprises a panic zone and what comprises a comfort zone? This will vary from person to person. And each of us has to find out what is the need that we have by which we can practice bhakti. So somebody may be satisfied by eating, say, one chapati. Somebody needs five chapatis. So for a person who is eating one chapati, two or three chapatis may be excess. They should be satisfied with chapati. For somebody who is eating five chapatis, for them, seven, eight chapatis are excess. So what is it that is required for satisfaction will vary from person to person. But the principle that we shouldn't crave beyond what is our need, that is universal. So we have to have this recognition that we cannot apply one formula for everyone at the material level. Spiritual level, everyone wants to love Krishna. That's the ultimate aspiration. But materially, different people will need different things. Materially, it is said that the shoe that fits one leg bites another leg. So similarly, of one situation may be like a stretch zone. You feel excited to be in that situation. But for somebody else, it is a panic zone. I can't be here. So we have to accommodate different people's different needs. And each of them, with their own sincerity and honesty, find out what is the level at which they can be satisfied. And then they practice Krishna. Answer your question?